We're definitely thinking about Thanksgiving this week. It's a blessing as living in a country that has a day in which we give thanks to God and recognize our Creator and the blessings that He has given to us. I remember reading about the history of Thanksgiving and its institution in the Continental Congress. And it was always interesting to me that they would have, of course, Thanksgiving in the fall. And they also had a day of humiliation in the spring. I don't know if you've ever read about that. And in that day of humiliation in the spring, they would take time to humble themselves in prayer and fasting. So for some reason, we did away with that one. So we kept the one that's full of eating. So I hope that you have a good week and blessed time with your family. And it is a blessing this morning to be able to get into God's Word. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the subject of Thanksgiving. And the one thing that stood out to me here is this word that's going to appear in our text this morning is in Psalm 69. And we're going to start, actually, I know I got verse 30 up there. We're starting verse 29 and go to verse 32. And look at what the scriptures say here in David's Psalm. And the idea of magnifying God, and that's an amazing thing. And to do so with thanksgiving, having gratitude and recognizing our Creator and the great blessings that He has given to us. And I think about that. What do you think about when you think about the word magnify? There might be a lot of things that come to mind. We're going to use that and think about it a little bit further as we go along on the subject of Thanksgiving and how important it is. But blessed are those who are constantly thanking God, for they are the ones that are wise. That's what the scriptures say. Wise in the way that they think, the way that they perceive the world, because you're constantly recognizing your Creator and what He has given to you and what He has done for you. And we don't want to just do this time of the week and just not this Thursday. We want to carry that with us the rest of our lives as we wake up every morning thanking God for the breath in our lungs and the blessings that He's given us, the family we have, and the food that we are able to eat. All those things come from our Creator, and they're wonderful. And we need to have that state of mind. We're going to see that a little bit further this morning as we look into this passage. I went on to put the scripture up there. We can make our own observations as we go along this morning, do a little bit different. But if you want to look here, Psalm 69, and look in verses 29 to 32, and this is what we read here. The psalmist says, I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high, and I will praise the name of God with a song. So this is a psalm of salvation. God, save me. And as we go on here, he says, I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Well, how do you magnify God? He's already so great. He's already great. How do you magnify Him? I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I will show gratitude to Him. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull. And that ties in with the Psalm 50 we had read this morning. We're looking at Psalm 50 where God says, I don't want those idols. I mean, not the idols too. I don't want those offerings. And those offerings is not what matters. What matters is the state of your heart of thanksgiving. And he says here, very similarly, this will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. He says, when the humble see it, they will be glad. And you who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise His own people who are prisoners. So now the psalmist is relating, all people are going through hard times and times of distress. What should you do? It makes me think of Philippians chapter 4, when Paul says when we're facing things that might concern us and get us anxious. What does Paul say in Philippians 4 and verse 6? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but do what? Let your requests be made known to God. With what? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Make known the things that you need to God in thanksgiving. And there's always that state of mind, and we see in the Bible, of which we want to address anxieties and worries and difficulties with thanksgiving. And the result of that we see throughout the Scripture. And you see here the psalmist, you can see him and read his words that he's being revived and enlightened, and his disposition and attitude is changing just by the statements of recognizing his Creator and thanking God. You feel down? What do? You know, counselors say when you're going a hard time, and I agree with this, I remember my professor saying, you need to write down your blessings because your perspective is wrong. You need to thank God for the things that He's given you. And it makes all the difference when we do that. And we see that in this scripture, and we see it in Philippians 4, and we see it throughout the Bible on this very subject. God wants His people to magnify Him in thanksgiving rather than all those other gifts. That passage we had read this morning from Psalm 50, Now, Cohen read for us, God says, all these animals are mine anyways. And if I wanted anything to eat, oh, you wouldn't know, I wouldn't tell you anyways. And not that God wants any, needs to eat or consume anything. He needs nothing. He's given all things. All things are His. And those are wonderful things. And what He wants from us is to magnify Him, to thank Him. Now, at the same time, someone might say, well, why does God want that? Does God need thanksgiving? Does He need us to worship Him? He doesn't need anything from us. The fact that He loves us, He wants us to thank Him, because what does thanking do? It helps us when we worship God, when we praise Him, when we gather together, when we pray. It helps us. It focuses our mind back upon that life has meaning and purpose, that our Creator has put us here, and with good reason, that He loves us and He's given us life and He's given us everything that we have. He's given us the food and clothing and all those great blessings. Those are the things that we thank Him for our own good. Because God loves us. And it makes sense. It's a wonderful thing to think about. But why should God, and that's the question we kind of answered right here. Why should God's people magnify Him? We want to look at this. There's definitely some downsides to not thanking God and not honoring Him and not worshiping Him as we should. And the Bible warns us about that. It warns us about those who do not thank God and do not honor Him, and do not think about Him, and put Him to the corner, and God becomes insignificant in their life, and He becomes small to them. Notice that I'm making a point here on insignificance and perceiving God as being small, because the theme this morning, and from the psalmist, is that we magnify God. You think about magnifying, you might think about a magnifying glass. You might think about a microscope. You might think about a telescope. We'll talk about those a little bit in a moment. But when we magnify God, as Christians, we read these passages in the Bible and these scriptures that tell us of what we're doing. Magnifying God, we're exalting Him. Why? He's already great. Why do I need to exalt Him? We're glorifying Him. Why do I need to glorify Him? Again, it's for my own good, but it's also for the good of those around me. That I recognize my Creator. That I'm willing to speak about what He has done for me. When I've gone through a hard time and it has been resolved, I take the time to say, I thank God. I remember recently somebody asking me, how's the congregation doing? How's the church doing at the Thomasville Church? How did y'all handle COVID? And on more than one occasion, I think about it. And my first reaction is, I thank God. That's what comes out of my mouth. I thank God that we're healthy, that we're doing great, that we're strong. And that's the things that we need to be constantly saying. And it needs to be upon our heart, that constant state of gratitude. I think about that all the time. I want to make sure that there's always gratitude in my heart. And I hope that we're thinking about that this week. That we want to live in a way in which we are exalting and magnifying our Creator and glorifying Him. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, Paul says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. It's all to bring glory to Him. We want to be a reflection of Him. You think about the idea of glory. Glory is to show the appearance and the light of something. I was sitting out Friday night. We usually have a little fire pit I'll put out in our driveway. And I was looking at the moon. Y'all see the moon this week. And you might have even gone outside early and saw the eclipse earlier this week. The moon was bright and the clouds were up there. And it was interesting to see the moon coming through the clouds and the aura of light around it. And often when I think about the moon, I think about the glory of which Christians are to display. We are to be reflecting the sun and the light of the sun and where that light comes from. So we do that. I think about as well that as Christians, we want to magnify them. We want to be like telescopes, not microscopes. All right, when you use a microscope, you're looking at small things. But when it comes to our Creator and God, a lot of people will think of Him or not think of Him at all, and He becomes insignificant. I often hear people talk about Thanksgiving, and they'll say thanks for this and thanks for that, but thanks to who? They're not thinking about who they're thanking. Christians, as Christians, we magnify. We are like telescopes. We're like that magnifies what is thought to be insignificant but as great. Also, when I've been going out and looking at the sky, you look south, and at night, you'll see Jupiter. It's right up there, and then right next to it, there's a lesser star to the right of it. It's Saturn, and if you keep following it down, it goes to right above the horizon, something that looks brighter and greater than Jupiter, but it's Venus. So I'm looking at the planets, and I got this little app on my phone, and I like to check it out and look at all the different constellations. But we as Christians, what we do here in the scope of that is when you think about, for instance, Jupiter as the king of planets, the telescope takes what is thought to be insignificant that you might look up there and think, well, that's just a dot in the sky. It's just a star. It's just a light. It's not something great. But we know that it is something great. And that a telescope shows us, starts to magnify the greatness of Jupiter or whatever planet or whatever body we might be looking at in the heavens that God has created. And as Christians, we want to do that. We want to magnify and continue to reflect the greatness of God, to give thanks to Him. A lot of things that people go through and stresses in life, and some of us might struggle with anxiety disorders. You might struggle with a lot of things in your life. Addictions, or it might be a type of depressing that you're constantly finding yourself depressed. One great thing that you can do is right here, that you magnify God, that you thank Him, that you reflect upon Him, and you think about the blessings that come from Him. And as Christians, we magnify God in many ways. We confess Him and we talk about Him. We recognize Him. We thank Him. And we live by faith in the Son of God. All those things magnify God and they magnify Christ. Christians are commanded in the Bible to give thanks to God, especially in singing and in prayer. We are commanded to sing. I encourage you right now. You might not have the best voice, but when we harmonize our voice and sing together, nobody's really going to hear you. Sing. Sing the words that you read, and you can go read those commands over in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. They're there, and we need to say it. It's for our own good, and we need to pray. And when someone else is leading prayer, we need to be thinking in our mind, amen, amen. That amen means what? It means that's true. That's right. Constantly saying that and making sure that we are actually praying with the one who is praying. Christians, as Christians, we magnify God with our bodies. In holy living. These are other scriptures right here. In Philippians 1 and verse 20, Paul's facing death and he says in everything that he's going to glorify God, whether he lives or he dies. So great instruction there that as Christians we want to continue to glorify God and magnify God. All of God's children must magnify Him. That's what we need to do, and it's for the betterment of the world and those around us. It's what's best for our family. This time of the year, now, and until Easter, a lot of people are being reminded constantly, life has meaning and purpose. There is a Creator, that Christ did come into the world, that He died, and He rose again. And those things that come up in our culture, we want to use them. We want to use them to share the truth with others, to speak about God, to speak about Christ, to ask others what they think, specifically our friends and our family. Now here's the warning that comes from Romans, and you've heard this passage before, 20 through 21, about what happens when you think of God as being insignificant, that you're not mindful of Him throughout your life, and you don't honor Him, and you don't thank Him. What happens? Well, Romans 1, 20 to 21, Paul says that we're able to see the attributes of God in His creation. Everybody is, so that we're without excuse. This is what he says. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. You can see the attributes of God, His power, His glory, His might, the fact that He gives meaning and purpose, that He is the source of all goodness because He is the one who's created all things. Look at verse 21. It says, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. I've used this passage before, and I remember teaching a lesson. I had a message I did one time. It's how to become an atheist or how to become an agnostic. And this passage here tells you how. You don't honor God. You don't recognize Him. You don't thank Him. You don't do any of that. And you're quickly going to move away from Him into futile thinking. And those who do that become foolish. Now, at the same time, I think as Christians, we don't need to be timid about recognizing our Creator and our God. They don't need to be shy about thanking Him and speaking about God to others. There's no shame in it at all. We should have no shame in that, no matter what the context is. Anyone who is ashamed of that is foolish, if not a fool. I want you to listen here. If we don't magnify God, this is what happens, and I like Psalm 35 that illustrates this, 26 and 27. This is David's psalm again. He says, let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. So David's saying, those who are rejoicing over me when I've gone through hard times, we're taking joy in this, let them be put to shame. He says, let be clothed with shame and dishonor who do what? Who magnify themselves against me. Our life isn't about magnifying what I've done, what we do. It's about a life of humility that magnifies our Creator, our God, that shows the greatness of who He is. And then look at verse 27. He said, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore. In other words, let those who see that God has influenced me, that He has changed me and made me right, that great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of His servant. And then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. One thing that constantly stands out to me, and what we've just read there in the scriptures, to magnify God, we have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves before Him. But just the very act of magnifying Him and recognizing who He is should humble us. It should bring us low. To say, again, thank you to God, to give thanks to Him. See, those words of thanks are an expression of that humility. Here's a whole chapter of the Bible. If you ever want to memorize one, here's Psalm 100, 5 verses. And I hope that these final passages are just going to be a reminder for us this morning to give thanks to God, and this whole week that we think about what thanksgiving does and what it accomplishes. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Such beautiful scripture. Greatly encouraging. And that's one to read the Thanksgiving table. Here's another one. Psalm 77, verses 11 through 14. The psalmist remembers who his Lord is. He says, I remember the deeds of the Lord. Do you do that? Do you think about that? Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. And there's no shortage of these scriptures. And so the message, the point this morning is right here. Psalm 34 and verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Thank God that we get to do that. We get to gather this morning and assemble. We get to magnify God in all of our life. And I hope that we're thinking, again, throughout this year, of glorifying Him and magnifying our Creator in thanksgiving. And that is the beginning of evangelism, to talk to others about God. That life has meaning and purpose. That the universe came into existence for a reason, and by that great cause, the Creator, our God. And lastly, as we're thinking on the subject of evangelism, we're thinking about reflecting the glory of God. We're thinking about magnifying our Creator in thanksgiving. We'll conclude here with Jesus' words in John 12, 46 to 48. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. When you see Christ, when you perceive him and you read about him in Scripture, you're seeing the glory of God. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this last week and had it in our study. That Christ is the glory of God. That is reflected in this world. And then Christ says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Let's live in the light. Do you want to thank God? You want to thank Him for eternal life? If you're going to thank Him for eternal life, you must confess your faith that He is Lord, that Christ is Lord, that He rose from the dead. And confessing, you must repent of your sins, turn from them, change your life, focus upon your Creator, and focus upon Christ and what He has done. And then on that faith, you may be buried into Christ in baptism and raised up to newness of life. You can read about that in Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13. And at that point, all of your sins are washed away. When all those sins are washed away, what you want to do is magnify and thank God. It's a beautiful thing. I hope these words are encouraging to you this morning. Whatever your needs are this morning, you need prayers this morning, you can come forward. You need to put on Christ in baptism. We encourage you to come right now. Let's sing together.